Hey, thank you very much for having me this morning, and it's really good to be here. Thank you, Serge, guys, thanks for coming in. I'm glad you got some morning tea this morning, because otherwise there was going to be no morning tea. So did you have any of those sour cream and chives chips? Oh, the ones that taste like sort of funny socks. Yeah. And hey, it's actually also really awesome to have my dad over here. So Dad normally goes to Burnside Elim, isn't it? So it's really awesome to have Dad here today. And Dad is an absolute star. At the end of last year, Dad had a hip replacement operation, so he's still waiting for the second one, but he's doing so well, and it's great to see Dad recovering. It's amazing. It was actually awful to watch the pain that Dad was in, and that's been relieved to a certain degree. So if you're in pain, man, I have empathy for you, and it's something I never had really, really actually seen up close, and it's a very debilitating thing in someone's life. It has a massive impact. Anyway, so it's great to have Dad here. You're looking awesome and you're doing well. Thanks, Ken, for mentioning the family. Nice to have Eden on the front row here, which is actually pretty cool. Probably like some of you, I use Spotify for my music. One of the reasons I like Spotify is that you can pretty much find any song that you want to listen to, and you can have a listen to it. So I really enjoy my Spotify account. And for me, it's really interesting. Sometimes when I'm feeling nostalgic, I can go and listen to that music I used to listen to when I was growing up. And it's interesting to have Dad here, because I can remember there was times when I listened to some music that Mum and Dad would have liked, and there was times when I listened to some music that Mum and Dad didn't like. Can any parents relate to that? They listen to the music that their kids are like listening to, and they're like, man, that's a bit dodgy. So I remember a road trip that we went on one day, so I cannot remember where it was, but we used to go on a family holiday quite, you know, most years. And so we would do this thing in the car where usually one of us would be able to choose what music we listen to. So we'd listen to my brother's music, sometimes we'd listen to Dad's music, Mum's music, and then my music. So I remember one year I was writing that, I was probably about 16 or 17, and so I subjected Mum and Dad to Def Leppard Hysteria. Is anyone who grew up in the 80s, anyone know that album? I can see some hands there. So I grew up listening to my favourite music was U2. I love U2, and I still actually really like U2 now. And it's I actually really like In Excess, I like Midnight Oil, like New Order. But some of that music now, I've got to be very careful what I listen to, because I know it had a massive impact on me. And especially that Def Leppard, old Joe Elliott in his ripped jeans. Not many of you actually know. I can tell none of you know what's happening here, do you? Don't go. You don't need to get too deep into who Def Leppard was. But anyway, they were quite a rocky sort of band. Do you know them, Anthony? Did you listen to them? No, because I'm looking at your Oasis T-shirt. That was probably a bit more 90s, really, wasn't it? So anyway, yeah. But one of the things that I've attempted to do with my Spotify account is kind of brainwash my kids into liking the music that I used to like. So I've got this playlist on Spotify that last year particularly I used to take the kids to school on a Thursday morning. So I used to have the Dad's playlist. Has anyone got a dad's playlist? What's wrong with you? You're meant to have a Dad's playlist. That's kind of you know, a wee bit edgy. But it's actually really cool because the kids have got to know some of my music, and they actually kind of like some of it. Jackie is perplexed by my music, to be honest. She was more of a 90s girl, but I was definitely an 80s kid with my music. So anyway, all that to say, at the end of last year, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Spotify will give you it kind of gives you this recap of what you've been listening to during the year. And it's actually quite amazing to see what you listen to during the year, because it's going into your spirit, it's going into your heart, really. But I was one of the songs that was on really high rotate, if you want to call it that, for my Spotify account last year was a song that we've sung in church, and for me it's a really amazing song, and it's that one called "Make Room" by Community. I think it's Community Music. And who doesn't know that song? Do you mind putting your hands up? Paul and Nora. My goodness. Hello. Nice to see you guys. Wow. Far out. I'm going to just play you, or listen, just read out the words from that song, Make Room. And so the words from that song, Make Room, by Community Music, it says, here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown, this is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. And it keeps going on. This is, again it says, here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender, and I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. And then there's a sort of a bridge or whatever, and it says, shake up the ground from all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion, your way is better, your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion, your way is better. And man, that song for me, and like, I was so stoked when we started singing that in church on a Sunday morning, because that song for me has been a song that's really impacted my life. And if you ever want to be encouraged, if you go to YouTube and put that song into it and read the comments section, that song has an amazing impact on people's life. And you can just the things that people type in those comments are absolutely amazing. It's just like a treasure trove of encouragement if you needed it. So anyway, so one day I try to get up before everyone else gets up and spend a bit of time with the Lord. Most of the time it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I get up a little late to really, you know, really get into it. But this one particular morning, it was probably earlier last year, I made that time, and I, as part of what I was doing, and just trying to connect with the Lord, one day I played that song, and I was just sitting in my lounge, just sitting on the couch, and you know how sometimes you can sing a song, and it's just a song, but sometimes you just, for whatever reason, you're able to take those words and really direct it to the Lord. So that this, it became more than just a song, and that morning it became worship from my heart, and it was something that I was, it almost became like a cry to my heart, or a cry from my heart to the Lord. And in that moment, I really felt the Lord really speak to me, or just really touch me. And I felt he was really, really close. I felt his presence. And do you know what it's like when you have those times? And I love it when we have them here at church, but isn't there something special when you have it at home alone? Man, that's to me, I love the Monday mornings. Like, I love Sundays when we have great mornings, but isn't it incredible when your connection with God spills out from Sunday into Monday? I think that's what it's meant to be. I think Sunday's not meant to be the main deal. I think what happens day to day is actually the main thing. But there was something about that moment, and I did feel as though he was really breaking down walls in my heart, and I was able to lay afresh a whole lot of stuff before him. And I really felt that it was just a really amazing time. And I was, you know, there was tears. Personally, I find tears really precious. If I'm going to have a time connecting with God and he connects with me in such a way that there's tears that I cry, man, I find that real precious, really, really, really precious, and I really treasure those times. So I felt that morning, it's like that song kind of became part of me. And so I've got a real connection with that song, and there's times when I can actually remember that moment, remember that morning before I went to work, before everyone else got up, and I can kind of almost click into that moment again. I can just feel the Lord, feel his love for me, and that's pretty cool, but just feel that surrender that I had. Does anyone else relate to that? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. And I was just I've been pondering that ever since, actually. Just the particular, that song about making room for the Lord. And obviously when we give our life to the Lord, you know, we're really making room for him. We're saying, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior. I want to live for you. And it's like we're opening up the door and creating room in our life for him. And there's some really interesting, there's another story in the Bible that I just really want to really, I'm not going to spend too long because there's, oh, hey, I haven't got a clock. so I can go as long as I want. No, don't worry, I won't go too long. I'll try not to anyway. So I was thinking about how in the Bible there are some stories about when someone made room specifically for the Lord. And there's a verse that you, or a little story that you would all know, or most of you will know, about a lady who was who lived in a place called Shunem. And I'll read it here. This is in 2 Kings chapter 4. I've still got a paper Bible in case you haven't noticed. This old school. See, I definitely grew up in the 80s. I think this is designed for an iPad up here, but anyway. One day Elisha went to Shunem. And so Elisha was a prophet, and basically back in those days when God spoke to the nation, oh, look at that, there's a clock. Thank you, Grant. That's going to be really hard to miss now. So in those days, God would speak to people through prophets. And he probably spoke to people as well in their hearts when they had that particular connection. But basically one of the main ways God spoke to the nation was through prophetic or through the prophet. And Elisha was the key prophet in the nation of Israel at the time of this story. So I'll read this. So one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came, he stopped there to eat. So she created a bit of a connection, you know, created a relationship with this prophet. And then she said to her husband, I know this man often comes our way and is a holy man of God. So she recognized something about Elisha. And she had this idea, and she said to her husband, let's make a small room on the roof and put it in a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay whenever he comes to us. So she recognized what was on this prophet's life, that he was a man of God and that God spoke through him. But she wanted to make room for, literally make room for Elisha in their house. So they actually, you know, I think that showed a bit of insight. Pretty good thing to do. And then another little wee, just really quick story about room. This is one you'll all know. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, when Jesus was born. So obviously Jesus was born to Mary. And I'll just read you this. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. So this little line here. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So I've got these things going around in my mind. I will make room for you. This woman and her husband made room for the prophet. They literally made a room. And then Jesus, when he was born into a place where there was no room. So how much room do we make for the Lord in our lives? And so are we like the Shunammite woman and her husband, who literally went out of their way to create a place that in some ways they were inviting God into their life? You know, they were inviting the representative of God on the earth, the prophet. They were inviting him and saying, hey, we're going to make room for you. And in doing that, they were making room for the Lord. But they had to go out of their way to do that. They had to dedicate some resources. They had to build something. They had to probably disrupt their daily life to do that. They might have workmen in and out. If you've had workmen in your house, you know that's probably not the sort of thing you want to have happen forever. So they really made a specific choice, and they chose to do something that really housed what God was doing in their nation and in their life as well, which is actually pretty cool. So that was through that prophet. And it's interesting, I was just thinking about, imagine being that innkeeper. So, you know, he gets a knock on the door. And now, I don't know, had they booked? I'm not sure. Had Mary and Joseph, you know, somehow sent messengers ahead to say, hey, look, we're coming. Can you keep the place for us? That maybe they'd stay there before, and the innkeeper wasn't used to them just dropping in. And can you imagine him, like, seeing this lady heavily pregnant, about to give birth, and going, but I've got no room for you. I don't know where to put you. And because if they'd stayed there before and they had a bit of a connection with that guy, he might have been like really sad or a bit like, I just don't know what to do. So come out to the manger. But isn't it interesting that sometimes I wonder if we're like that, that it's like, I just didn't expect you to turn up right now, God. And have I got room for you in the busyness of my life and everything that's happening? And sometimes when maybe we get that God turns up, do we just kind of like push him off to, we just haven't got room for you, God. I'm just so busy. I'm doing all these things. And I just wonder, I can relate to both of those scenarios when I specifically want to create something. I want to create room for God in my life. I want to have those moments when I'm allowing him to come and meet with me. But also then there's times when I feel like that, I possibly feel like maybe that innkeeper did, man, I feel too busy. I'm not sure where I'm going to put you, God. I've got all these things that I need to be doing, and I'm not sure if I can make room for you, Does anyone else feel, can understand what I'm sort of saying by that? So, and that's actually not really what I really want to focus on this morning, but I believe some of you, there is something that God would want you to take away today. How much room are you making for the Lord in your life? Are you making room for him? Are you intentionally making that room for him? And maybe there's times when he's asking you to make room that you're just not sure what to do with it, where to push him, as it were, or where to allow him to come in, because the busyness of life, or this life is too crowded, or whatever it is. But on the 17th of December, which was a Sunday just before Christmas, I just had another moment with that song. So, well, I'm pretty sure, I can't actually remember if we were singing that song in church. And look, this is kind of like leading you into I don't know why, but I really felt as though I was meant to do this morning. So I'm kind of leading you into my world a wee bit. So I am an introvert. So I don't have any need to let you into my world. I'm not like looking for people to come in and see what's happening on the inside of me. I'm quite happy in my own little world all by myself. Does any other introverts? Oh yes, there's a couple here. I'm not alone, thank goodness. So I don't have a need to tell you about what's happening inside of me, okay? Trust me, I'd rather not. But anyway, but I really sense that the Lord wants me to share with this. So I think we were singing that song. I'm pretty sure we were singing that song, that I will make room for you. And without going into a lot of detail, I was just pondering a specific area of my life about what was happening in that area of my life. And again, I'm not going to go into the detail of it. And, you know, we were singing that song, I will make room for you. And we were all singing that song to the Lord. And then, you know, something happened. And it was to do with the circumstances in my life. He spoke to me. He totally flipped that song around. And he said, I will make room for you. Oh. Man, that was good, eh? That was really... And it took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it. I've actually had that happen twice now with songs. And this will be... This morning, I hope you can just have a listening ear and just take whatever you need to take out of today, because it might be a bit of a potpourri, which is a bit of an 80s thing again, or a 90s thing. Remember that? Little jars of wood shavings, and you put little oil in it. It's kind of smelled nice. Mum had pink one. Anyway. So I've had that happen twice with songs. And it just really encourages me to listen to what the Lord would say to you when we're singing a song. So has anyone heard that song, You're a Good, Good Father? And we love singing that song to the Lord and just saying, You're a good, good Father, we thank you. And I was singing that song one day, and then one day God flipped it around to me. And he said, You're a good, good Father. So, man, God can just speak to you in the most unexpected ways. And sometimes, it was affirming, it was an encouragement, but it was also a call up. So it wasn't as if he was saying, right, you've reached it, you're the most amazing dad you're ever going to be. But he was calling me up in my fatherhood. Man, can you hear that? Oh. So there's a dad, there's a couple of dads in the room here this morning that the Lord would say to you that you are a good, good father. And he's calling you up in your fatherhood. He's not saying that right now, as you are fathering, that's the definition of your fatherhood. But he's calling you up in your fatherhood. Man, that's good, eh? That does good. That does my heart good. I love it when the Lord speaks you, eh? There's something pretty special about it. So I've got, as you know, I've got four kids. And I was just thinking, I've got 60 years of fathering experience if I add all those kids up. Because at 18, 14, 16, and 12 this year. But it's actually quite biblical for God to sing over you. So if some of you might be, hang on, what do you mean? You're worshipping and then God's speaking to you while you're worshipping. That all just sounds all a bit messed up. Zephaniah 3:17 talks about how the Lord wants to sing over us. So it is actually biblical for the Lord to sing over us. And I reckon if we can listen while we're worshipping to him, that's some of the most amazing times for him to speak to us. So if you're a father and you know that your fathering could be different, and I know my fathering can be different as well, God wants to call you up into that today, which is a really good thing. So I'm going to repeat this phrase that I'll make room for you a few times this morning. And I just want you to listen and start to have a bit of a perception of where would God say to you that I am going to make room for you. Because that's what it's about today. So why would God want me to share something that he spoke to me on a Sunday morning, because it's not about me, but I believe that he's saying to many of you here, I will make room for you. So it's not just a message to me, but I include myself in it. And I believe the Lord is saying to us this morning that he is going to make room for you. And so that's a rhema word. 2 weeks ago, Grant talked about rhema and logos. So I had a rhema word. God spoke to me. And I wonder if some of you this morning will get a rhema word from the Lord that God is going to make room for you, as I just sort of go into this a wee bit. So particularly for the Surge guys here, you might be thinking, man, how did you know God spoke to you? That sounds like, we hear that a lot in church. God, you know, God speaks to us. How do you know that that was God speaking to you? So I'm not particularly worried about people knowing what happens on the inside of me, but I'm going to tell you how I knew that that was God speaking to me. Because I reckon that God is going to speak to Lincoln differently than he will speak to me. And he'll probably speak differently to Ethan than he will to me. So God knows who you are, so he's going to speak to you in a way that you know that he's going to hear it. Okay, guys, so if you're not sure, if you're wondering how will God speak to me, he's going to speak to you so that you know he's speaking to you, which is really interesting. So in Exodus 3, for me, I sensed that God was speaking to me. So I didn't hear a loud trumpet. There was no words written in the sky. There was no glitter falling or anything. But I just sensed, I had this little hunch that God was speaking to me. And that's, for me, is how I know, or that's how I get a little wee leading that maybe God is starting to speak to me, so pay attention. So there's a verse in the Bible, or a little story about someone who had God speak to him in Exodus 3. And this is Moses. So I'm just going to really quickly turn here. And some of you know this, but anyway. So what am I looking at? Exodus 3. So now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock up to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. I would probably like to think that I'd love it if God spoke to me like that. That'd be pretty amazing. Imagine if you saw God speak to you. Well, you're probably not going to doubt it, I would have thought. I think Moses needed to know that God was speaking to him in a way that he couldn't doubt. So maybe God spoke to him in quite a dramatic way. And so it says here, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And then God literally spoke to him from a bush, which is pretty amazing. But I've never had God speak to me from a bush. So for me, when I know God's speaking to me, it's like there's a thought or something going through my mind, my thinking, that makes me go, huh, that's not something I was actually thinking at the time. So it's kind of like God captures my attention, and he sort of like creates something that makes me curious and go, oh, I wonder if that was God speaking to me. And then as you sort of, like Moses had to turn and look at that bush, so if I pay attention to it, I'll feel, that is God speaking to me. And then when that happens a few times, you come to recognize it a wee bit quicker that God is actually speaking to you. And so that might be a useful little explanation for some of you. So there's a sensing that you sense God is speaking to you. And I'm not saying that some people don't have loud trumpet, you know, noises and God speaking literally audibly, that they can hear it in their ears. But I personally don't have that. So when I know God is speaking to me, like that morning, when I heard, I will make room for you, it's like I could have ignored it and just gone, no, that's just me thinking. Because it's like, let's just say you're walking down a path and there's a rose bush here and it just catches your clothes. Like you can kind of just ignore it, or you can sort of stop and unpick it. And when you, sometimes if you feel as though God is speaking to you, you've got to almost stop and recognize, oh, there's a little catch here. So there's a catch inside your spirit, if you want to call it that. And I need to unpick that a little bit and see what shakes out. And then as you sort of say, Lord, was that you? You might just feel him going, just sort of giving you a little more and just expanding on it. And then you realize, I come to realize that God has spoken to me. Does that make sense? A little bit? Hopefully that makes sense. And for me, that's the way how I sort of find God speaks to me more often than not. I sort of come to realize that he has been speaking to me. And then there are other moments when it is a wee bit different, but that's the way. So why share that today? Because I believe that some of you need to know this morning that God will make room for you. So I sense that some of the people may be in a place where you might be something in one of these situations, where you're asking, where is my place? So where is my place maybe at church? Where is my place in my family? Where is my place at work? And maybe even where is my place in this world? Where is my place? Where is my place in the relationships I see around me? And God would say, I will make room for you. Some of you, maybe you feel like you've been holding a promise for a long time. And then maybe a bit like Mary, she's literally holding a promise inside her belly. There's something about to happen. And some of you maybe feel as though you've been holding on to a promise for a long time. And I just wonder if this is a season when the Lord says, you know that promise that you've been holding on to it for a long time, I'm about to make room for you. And some of you might feel in a place, I don't know how to describe this, but you feel in a place of confinement. You just feel like maybe you're being squeezed out of something. Or you're not sure of your place, where you are, and the Lord would say to you, I'm going to make room for you. Some of you might know that you've got a gifting, a talent, or an ability, be it spiritual or natural, and you're like, I'm not sure if I should step out in that gift. I'm not sure if I should step out with that ability, that talent that you've given me, Lord, because I'm not sure if it'll be received, will it be successful? And I sense the Lord would say to some of us this morning that I will make room for you. It's going to be a bit repetitive, isn't it? And then there's the person, some of you probably sitting here, you've maybe even disqualified yourself from the giftings of God, from the talents, from the abilities that he's given you. And how have you disqualified yourself? Maybe you've disqualified yourself by the words that people have spoken and you've listened to that have been negative, and that haven't been true, that have been lies. So maybe you've believed lies and you've disqualified yourself from something that God would be calling you into. That's one thing, but I reckon the hardest one to unpick, as it were, is if you have had an internal conversation when you've made up a story about yourself and you have disqualified yourself. Man, they are the hardest words to unpick. I think that when we have spoken to ourselves on the inside in a way that we have excluded ourselves from a possibility or excluded ourselves from what we think God will be calling us to or the gifts and talents that we have been given, that is the hardest one to come back from. And I sense if you have disqualified yourself by your internal, the story that you tell yourself about yourself, God would say, I'm going to make room for you. And he's got a different story about you than the one you may have been telling yourself. Can anyone relate to that? I reckon we can all do that. We can all have a little story that plays in our head about ourselves. And it's like God wants to renew the story about yourself. So I want to read some scriptures that might just really, I think if anyone relates to this, I've got some scriptures that I believe will help you and will be the Lord kind of just starting to speak to you about this place where you're saying, where he will make room for you. Okay, so this is not too much of a paper chase, hopefully, but Isaiah 54. Now for many of you, these will not be new scriptures, but maybe you can hear it in a new way today. And just hear what the Lord would say to you through it. So Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Now this is the bit. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. So enlarge the place of your tent. God's saying there's enlargement for some of you from the place that he's got you right now. The Lord wants to enlarge your life. We've got another one. Is that pretty good? I reckon that's a good scripture, eh? Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. Sometimes there's something really powerful just about listening to a whole lot of verses that reinforce the same thing over and over. Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. Oh, this is so good. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I mean, if you can just hear the Lord speak that to you, because he has placed boundaries around our lives, but the boundaries around your life have fallen in pleasant places. Oh, man, that's good, eh? That is really good. Psalm 18, verse 16 to 19. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy. If you've got a powerful enemy coming against you, you probably feel a bit hemmed in. You feel a bit like, I don't know what to do. I've got attackers here, but he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. And then listen to this verse here. Remembering, I'll make room for you. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He brought me out into a spacious place. That's all I need to say. Psalm 31, another psalm. Who loves psalms? So good, eh? Psalm 31, verse 7 to 8. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. So what's your affliction? Your affliction in this context as we're talking today is the thing that you feel as though is confining you, maybe hemming you in, maybe disqualifying you from what you would love to move into. You knew the anguish of my soul. Because some of us, you know, there's things that we would hope for, that we dream for, that we believe God has spoken over our life, and it kind of produces a bit of an on the inside. But listen to this. You have not handed me over to the enemy. You have set my feet in a spacious place. You have set my feet in a spacious place. Man, that's the heart of the Lord to us. Man, that's good, eh? I think that's so good. And then Psalm 118, another one. Psalm 118. Oops. Verse 5. It says, in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Isn't that cool? He answered me by setting me free. That's so good. So I reckon this morning that the Lord would just want to, there's almost like, if you can just hear those words over your own life, there's like almost like just, I just sense there's a reassuring thing that the Lord wants to reassure you that he is going to make room for you. That you might look at your circumstances and see one thing, but I actually believe that in the coming days, the Lord is going to just let you see something. There's an invitation for you to move into the room that the Lord is going to make for you. So if I can just speak that to you, okay? So Proverbs 18, verse 16, in the NIV says, and this again, in the New King James particularly, in the NIV it says, a gift opens the way for the giver, opens a way, and ushers him into the presence of the great. And in the New King James Version it says, a man's gift, or a woman, because you know, it's not just all about men, as everyone knows, a man's gift, or a gift will make room for him. So your gift will make room for you. And God has given you all gifts. He's given you all talents, abilities, natural and spiritual. And that gift is what God has designed to make room for you. I used to think of that verse, because when it says, you know, a gift brings people before, or, you know, I'll read it again. A gift opens the way for the giver. I was thinking, like, if I was to give you $10,000, it would probably open open a different degree of relationship. It would be like, oh, wow, that's amazing. If someone was to give you something, I used to think that it was like, you know, when you wrapped something up and gave it to someone, and I think there is that application of that verse as well. that kind of opens something up for you. You know, like if you wanted to get alongside someone, you know, giving them a gift is a good way to, you know, create relationship. But actually, I believe this morning the Lord would say that the gift that he's put on your life, God is going to use those gifts, those talents and those abilities, natural and spiritual, to create room for you. So that you can live your purpose, you can live what God's called you to, and you can basically live the life that God wants you to. Because I think if we're not connecting with our gifts, we're not connecting with the life that God has for us. It's pretty easy to, and it can be pretty easy to, for lots of reasons, to step back from your gifts and not use them. Is that right? So if this is speaking to you, you've got a part to play as well. The Lord will make room for you. He's going to make room for you. And I believe that there's a season where he's going to make room for people in lots of ways. But there's our part to play as well. So I've got a question for you. Have you stewarded the gift of God upon your life? Have you stewarded the natural gifts, the natural talents, natural abilities that he's given you? Because for some of you, that's where your life, where your prosperity, where your purpose, where your success is going to be, where he's gifted you. So have you stewarded your gift? Have you developed your gift? Have you honed it? Have you practiced your gift, your talent or your ability? Or are you using your gift? Are you actually using it to serve? Or are you just kind of holding it back? I love that there's that amazing, there's that parable where a guy had a gift, a talent, and what did he do with it? The last one, he buried it in the ground. Because that's the safest thing to do with something, isn't it? If you don't want to lose it, the safest thing to do is just bury it in the ground and kind of hope that no one sees where you buried it, and then I always know it's there because it's buried in the ground, and I probably don't have to do much with it down there, but I know if I ever want to, I can always get down and grab that. I can grab it again. But I don't think God wants us to bury our gifts. And I wonder how many of us have buried our gifts. Or have we maybe had the challenge this morning to maybe, what are you doing to steward your gifts, to develop it, to hone it? And that verse is in Luke 16:10. Jesus makes a statement about stewardship, or what's currently in your hand at the moment. So this is what Jesus says: whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. So if Jesus looks at you and what does it mean to develop, to steward your gift? Start off with the little. You don't have to start off way in the heights of whatever it is that, you know, the giftings, the abilities, the talents that he's given you, the callings. You just start off where you are today, what's in your hand today. So if you're like, man, God, I want you to make room for me for the purpose that you've placed upon my life, start off today by serving and sowing your gift where you are right now. Look around the people that are around you. How can I serve people with the gift that God's given me? So it doesn't have to be some high spiritual thing. Just how can I serve the people around me? And when you're doing that, what you're doing is you're sowing your gift. You're sowing your gift. You're not burying it. You're sowing it so that it can actually start to grow and increase. A seed starts small, and then it grows into something big. We all know the story about, you know, you can count the seeds in the apple, but you can't count the apples in the seed. You can't count the apple trees that are in the seed if it's sown. It's really interesting, eh? So what does it mean to be faithful with a little? Whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. So you've got to start with little. So there's a little wee example that I've sort of over the years thought about, and this is a funny one. Let's just say you really wanted to have a beautiful car, maybe a Lamborghini, just to make it really extreme. And you dream of having a Lamborghini, and you're like, man, I really, that's something that's really high up there for me. I can't wait to drive down the road and see people looking at me in the Lamborghini. Just by the way, that's not me. and just think, oh, I'd look after it, I'd wax it, I'd do this and that. And you think, what would you do if you had that thing that you really wanted? Chances are you won't treat the Lamborghini any better than the Corolla you probably have right now. In your mind, you would treat the Lamborghini differently, but the Lord says that if you're faithful in the little, you can be trusted with much. So that's a real challenge for me. What am I doing? What do I do with the little that I have? Well, you know, the smaller things that haven't yet grown, what do I do with those? Am I stewarding them well? Or am I waiting till I've got a lot and then I'm going to start stewarding it? You wait till I've got something here. I'm going to steward that so well. It's easy to think like that, isn't it? One day I'll be like this, but the Lord says, I want you to be like that today. So start off being faithful with a little and then watch God turn that into much. And then when you get presented with an opportunity, if you have honed your gift, if you've developed yourself, you know, you've looked at your talent, looked at your giftings and abilities, then when an opportunity presents itself, and God will present opportunities to you, you can actually take that opportunity. So I had an opportunity, and so as Ken said before, I'm a landscape designer, landscape architect, and it's interesting how you see yourself determines what opportunities you will take. That might take a bit of unpacking. So one day I was in an aeroplane flying to Auckland. Can't even remember why, to be honest. And I just happened to sit beside this guy. And I just, sometimes I like talking to people on aeroplanes, but sometimes I just would rather that they didn't talk to me. Anyone else? Yeah. So I just said, "G'day, how you going?" He said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I told him what I was up to. I can remember what I was doing. That's irrelevant. But so long story short, he was a guy that now owns a lot of the rest home villages that are being built around town. And I said, "Oh, so what are you doing? What are you doing going up to Auckland?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going up to check on my super yacht. It's being built at the moment." And so he pulled out a picture and showed me a picture of his super yacht that was being built. Wow. And then he said, I'm actually building a house at the moment too. And he pulled out the plans and showed me his house. And this would have been probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. And back then it was a multi-million dollar house, so what that would be worth now. And he goes, "Oh, hey, here's my card. When you get back to Christchurch, give me a call. You might want to come around and just, you might be able to help me with landscape design." Wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Did I ring him? Guess, come on. Did I ring him? No, you're right. Of course I didn't. Because I didn't see myself big enough for the opportunity. I thought, who am I to work for a man with a super yacht? Man who's building a multi-million dollar house and who I now know is probably has built many retirement villages. Now, I'm not sad. I'm actually really grateful for that experience because I learned from it. So I'm not wishing I could go back and recreate that moment. I'm looking out for those moments now. And maybe now I would be like, "Oh, yes, it is." Because I've grown, I've developed my gift. There's not... I'm very comfortable now with anyone with landscape design. I know what they should do at their house. Just ask me, I'll tell you. Simple. I don't know why, I can just see it. That's experience. Someone who had, that's me having developed the gift, developed the talent, started off with the small things, you know, working for someone else. So that's how it works. So what about you? Have you developed your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Have you looked and asked the Lord and asked him to show you what is it that you've gifted me with? What is it that you, what are the talents and abilities that are inside of this person, inside of this world, inside of your world? So a couple of Saturdays ago, Jackie and I went on a bike ride to prepare for the ride that we did with Rob and Chris. So we went out to... We drove out to probably about halfway to Little River. There's a car park where you can stop and you just take a little wee trail, and you get on the rail trail, which takes it all the way through to Little River. And so Jackie and I, we knowing that we had this trip, we needed to get our legs ready. And if any of you know, if you've been on a bike for a few days, whew, man, it can hurt. So we needed to get our body ready. And anyway, and actually this time last week, we were going through Spooner's Tunnel, which is actually pretty cool. We were going through a 1.3 decommissioned rail tunnel on our bikes. So cool. Absolutely amazing. The incredible experiences. But anyway, so on the way to Little River, it was a great ride, really enjoyed it. But I just felt the Lord speaking to me as I was just considering this morning, and just a little picture for some of you, how God is going to make room for you. So when you're biking along, and if you've been biking, you understand this. We're just biking along. There's some places it's like a single track, and only one, it's only single file. There's only room for me to be biking, someone in front of me, someone behind me, and there's not room for, like, you know, two beside each other. But then sometimes the road or the track just broadens out a little bit. And then when the track broadens out, if Jackie and I are biking, or if Rob and I and the crew are biking, Chris, where's Chris? Where are you, Chris? Oh, there he is. When the track broadens, what happens is, without even saying it, the person in front just kind of moves over to one side just a little bit. And it's kind of like this invitation, hey, if you want to talk, you can just ride up beside me. There's room for you to just come and ride up beside me, and we can have a little chat. And then, you know, down the way a little bit, the road narrows again, and we just go back into single file. But I just wonder, I reckon there's some invitations from the Lord coming for everybody here, or anyone here that he's speaking to you about this, about I will make room for you. And it's almost like, just look for an invitation where the Lord is just going to look for him, look for that track to widen, and for him to say, hey, there's room, just come up alongside me right here now. Come up into your purpose in a new way. Come up into your destiny. There's space here for you to start to use that gift, to stretch that talent, to dust off that ability. Come up beside me. Can you feel that? And I reckon some of you, that's what he's going to do. He's just as you're just going through life, if you do have that cry in your heart, he's just going to literally say, hey, just come up beside me, and there's going to be an invitation. Now, I've had invitations before. And what can you do with an invitation? RSVP. Imagine God gives you an invitation. Hey, Craig, come up here beside me. I want to make room for you. I want you to move into something different. I want you to develop, or whatever it is. I can RSVP. Sorry, busy. I can reply yes or no. And so when he makes an invitation, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, yes, I'll risk it. I know, I'm not sure. I feel a wee bit unusual. I feel a wee bit like it's a bit of a stepping out of the boat a little bit. Will you say yes to the Lord asking you to step out into something new as he makes room for you? So I sense that there's going to be an invitation. And first of all, you've got to hear it. And then how are you going to respond to it? So there's going to be room for you to move more fully into your purpose where you've not seen a way. There's going to be room to see a promise, the word you've been holding on to coming to pass. And I just almost had to declare this as like a season thing. Room to accept yourself in a new way and to stop disqualifying yourself. And then, like when I was on the airplane, it's time to stop self-sabotaging when an opportunity would present itself. I see it's like many of us are in a place in our journey when there's a change coming in the nature of the journey, and God is about to move and open up space for you. It's going to be an invitation that you can accept or decline to see if you'll join him and move up a little higher or stay where you are. There's a scene in The Chosen, and probably a lot of you have seen The Chosen, and this is the scene that just absolutely wrecks me. So it's in the first season, and Jesus and Nicodemus. If you haven't seen this Chosen, I'm really sorry. You can probably, if you want to, go home and watch it. So Jesus and Nicodemus are talking. Can anyone remember that bit? The most incredible dialogue. My favorite dialogue in a movie before that was in The Matrix. I used to think there's some really good dialogue in that. Particularly number two. It was really amazing. But anyway, so Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And then Jesus gives Nicodemus an invitation. And I love how they've sort of teased out a story that we can't necessarily see in here. But so basically Jesus gives an invitation to Nicodemus to lay down his position, to lay down his place of importance, to lay down almost everything that he is, to lay down his reputation, and to join the disciples with Jesus. And then he says, I can't remember, but he basically says, Nicodemus, look, if you want, I'm going to be at this place at this time. If you want to come with me, meet me here. And so Nicodemus kind of, you can tell he's flummoxed. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, what do? Do I go with Jesus? And his wife, it's wonderful how they sort of, or it's great how they show his wife would not approve. It's very clear that his wife would not approve of him laying down all of that stuff to go and follow Jesus. But he kind of half-heartedly goes down to that place, and there's a corner, and Jesus and his disciples are over here, and Jesus is looking. He's watching and he's talking to others, but he's actually looking the whole time. He's going, Nicodemus, are you coming? And I think he knows he's probably not going to. Nicodemus leaves some money, which is actually, I think, if I remember rightly, which is really cool. But Nicodemus there's a corner here, and Nicodemus is behind the wall, and he probably looks out and he can see Jesus over there. He can see Jesus. And then he just breaks down bawling because he knows he's not going to go and meet with Jesus and go on the journey. So Jesus has made, he gave him an invitation, made room for him, and then Nicodemus is like, yeah, nah. He really wanted to, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. And then it's, I reckon for me, that is something that is, wow, that is really challenging, eh? So if you're going to step into the room that God is going to present to you, it might take a bit of risk, might take a bit of courage, but maybe you'll find your purpose when you step out into where he's calling you. And I reckon Nicodemus, if that story was true, if that was actually what happened, and I don't know, maybe they got it right, Nicodemus might have been quite a bigger part of the story of the New Testament. Who knows? So why would you risk and step out into a room that God's going to make for you? I'm just going to read this. For some of you, it'll take stepping out to change the trajectory of your life, to match what you see it could be, what you feel called to, what's been prophesied over you, and where you'll find your purpose. And I believe the Lord would say to you today that the door, for some people, this will be right on, the door is not locked. Some of you, it's like you're behind a door and you're just not sure. If you push on the door, will it open? The Lord will say to you, the door is not locked. And I have no idea what that is speaking to anybody in here, but I just trust that it is. And if you push a little, you'll find the door is actually open to you. John 10 verse 9 in the New King James, Jesus says, I am the door. He really is the doorway into everything. He's the doorway into your purpose. He's the doorway into you walking into calling. He is the door. Yeah. So I just this would love this morning. I hope there's something that you've picked up out of the potpourri of what we talked about this morning, but just that you've picked up something that has spoken to you that might help you recognize where God is going to make some room for you, where God is bringing an invitation into your life. Be prepared for an invitation. Start preparing yourself now for what you're going to do when you feel that, when that invitation arrives. So Rob, I really felt that there's something for you to ponder here. And we had such a good conversation in the car on the way home. It was actually a really special time, eh? But I believe that there, and the person that I was going to prophesy over today is not here. I've missed out, but I was been thinking about a few other things. So Rob, I actually believe there is something for you to ponder here, then that the Lord, that what is happening in your life now is not it. And you know that as well, but there's so much more for you. And the Lord said, I will believe that he's saying that he's going to make room for you. And when he makes room for you, you're going to step into something that brings you such joy. And I just saw this, as I was just pondering that, I just saw this picture of you like skipping, a new skip in your step. There's going to come such joy when God opens something up for you, and I don't know what that is, but as he makes room for you and opens it out, you're going to skip with joy. Lynn's going to know it. She's going to, you have got joy anyway, but there's going to be a new joy, and I'm so looking forward to seeing that. And Noah, I just feel I've got a little word to encourage you. And Deborah said that you went out to Kaikoura, on, which is so cool. And I just want to say, as someone who's been here a long time, and has been part of this church for a long time, that we think you are the real deal. And I really want that, well, I really hope that sinks into your heart. We believe you're the real deal. And we bless you in what you're doing. And I reckon that you, sometimes the people that look like they don't need encouragement possibly need it the most. I imagine that you have really had to contend for what God is doing in your life. So I mean, I really honour you for that, Noah. And I just would love that to settle. I don't know if you ever think about that, but man, we believe you're the real deal. You're awesome. You're awesome. Sam and Elise, where's Sam? Oh, Sam's over here. Oh, sorry, Sam's over there. Elise is over here. And I was just sort of pondering this morning as well, I just believe that the Lord would really want to encourage both of you. Because what I see you doing, and what I believe the Lord wants to tell you he sees you doing, is that he sees you being faithful. So you know that verse, if you're faithful in the little, that you'll be faithful in much. So I believe that God is saying that you are being, what you're doing in the youth ministry, like first of all, it's no little thing. It's no little thing, what you're doing in the youth ministry. What you're putting your hands to is absolutely critical. And I'm watching that in my own household. What you're doing is absolutely critical to the lives of my children. So I am super blessed by what you're doing. But at the same time, the Lord says that you are being faithful in what is in your hand now. And compared to what is coming, it is little. But it's not insignificant. So the Lord would just say he sees your faithfulness, and he is blessed by your faithfulness just as we are. But just watch what the Lord does as you continue to be faithful. And just watch what he does with the opportunities. Watch for invitations. He's going to bring you invitations. He's going to bring you opportunity. And you've got great people around you that you can weigh those opportunities, those invitations. But you're being faithful with what is in your hand now, and God will find you faithful with much in the future as well. And I don't even want to be presumptuous, but you guys here, Anthony and Nina, crikey. It's so good to see you guys here. And last night, Anthony shared, you know, you shared some stuff, which was really, thank you for sharing. It was amazing. But I would just love to pray something over you. I would love to pray the end of a season. I say that with humility, but not trying to be anyone that I'm not supposed to be. But I would love it. Do you guys mind standing here? And can we just stand as a church and pray for these guys here? And what we're going to pray is that God is ending. I believe God wants to end a season and bring you into a new season. And I think it kind of aligns up with what we've been talking about, how he's going to make room for you. There's maybe you're looking and you're not seeing room, but I believe that the Lord would want to move you guys into a place, starting with the end of a season. And I believe we're all going to declare the end of a season, and that he wants to move you into a new place. He's creating room for you. And I think you can hear the heart of the church for that. And Nina used to come to this church years ago, so it's kind of cool. So is it right if you guys stand up, if that's okay? And could I just, Ken and Margaret, maybe just because you guys are here, would you just stand around them? And so as I just pray this, can you guys just add your faith? Maybe you can just reach out your hands toward this incredible couple. Like we get blessed because of Elise. And we're blessed for the fruit. There's fruit in our church because of what you guys have done. This, how you've raised your children, how you've followed the Lord. There's fruit in our church, which is really cool. And some of you wouldn't know, but way back when God first started, you know, the Holy Spirit started moving in our church, Nina really was a major part of that. And so we just really honor you for that, Nina. You've really done something foundational in our church. But in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this couple. Thank you, Lord, for their heart. Thank you, Lord, that they love you. Thank you that you love them, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that nothing that has happened, nothing that they've been through has gone unnoticed by you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you've been there, you've been with them. Lord, you've literally journeyed with them. And I thank you, Lord, that for the deposit that you've laid down in their lives. Lord, it has been something that has gone very deep, but I really believe the Lord has laid a deposit in your life over the last few years. And there's going to be the time is going to come when, because this is something that happened deep, but the same, there is going to be a time when what happened deep inside of you, the things he deposited in you, will come to the surface and will be seen by many and will really help many people. Because you've got a heart, both of you as a couple and individuals, you have a heart to help people, to love people. But in the name of Jesus, as a church here, we just declare the end of a season, and we declare the opening of a new season in God. We just declare the old season is ended in Jesus' name. We declare the ending of this old season, and we declare the release into a new season right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, a new way to walk, a new season to walk in this day. Oh, Lord, I just ask you would show them how to walk in this new season. I ask you would show them, Lord, the definitions and even the boundaries that have fallen in a pleasant place in this season. Lord, I just ask that you would come and meet with them in a new way. Lord, I ask for a fresh word over their life. Lord, I ask that you would speak a fresh vision. Lord, something that like I spoke over Rob, that will bring such joy to you in this season. I believe there really is joy coming in this season as the Lord opens up something for you. Thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, thank you, Father God. But I also thank you, Lord, for the perception to be able to see when others are going through things, Lord, and to be able to get alongside them and minister to them in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is anyone else that's part of our church that's a kind of a recognized voice would love to speak over these guys just in this moment? Just to put you on the spot. Come on, Living Waters, let's draw more for them this morning. Oh, Nara, would you, I'd love it, Nara, if you would come and pray with them. Nara and Lisa, would you prophesy over these guys? They'll be so awesome.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the invitation for these people to be here today and receive from this Living Well, from everybody who is here, that your heart is in all of us. So we just impart to them right now your anointing. Thank you, Lord. He was speaking to me about Ezekiel, I think it's in 39, where the rivers came up past the ankles. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come out upon them right now. Your anointing, a fresh infilling today, past the ankles, into the water, into the deeper waters. He's bringing you into the deeper waters. Hallelujah. Strengthen them for what is ahead. And I thank you, Lord, for the breaking off of the old, and being come brought into the new today. You're being brought in up to past your knees. Holy Spirit, come and fresh fall upon them. I just release a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire upon you. Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, release. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come in power upon them. I see, Holy Spirit, I see you have voices to speak into, voices, hallelujah, new, young people and old people, there are voices that need to hear what you've got to say. The fire of God is upon you and upon your lives. What has been holding you back is no longer in place. The barriers are broken off them, hallelujah, the barriers. Hallelujah. We take authority right now. Every barrier, we just command it to leave them right now, around them, around their family, every member of their family. Hallelujah. I see, I don't know who their children are, but their children are being called up higher too. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come upon their children right now. Hallelujah. There's an inheritance being released today. An inheritance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There's a good, good inheritance for this family. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We receive it right now. We release what you have, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's saying, I've been drawing you closer to me. I've been drawing you. You walk in the ways of Jesus. You walk in my ways and statutes. And I'm going to honor you for that. I'm going to honor for you for that, for your sacrifices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we just ask to enlarge their borders, Lord, to fill them, to overflow. Hallelujah. We just release that. Thank you, Lord. Fresh infilling. Thank you, Lord. I just see seeds are being planted right now. It's like the knowledge of who God is. The knowledge of who God is. Hallelujah. The knowledge of who God is. It says, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Thank you, Lord. He's going to encounter you in power and dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. They're going to come in the night and in the day. Hallelujah. You're just stepping into a new thing. A new thing. Behold. Behold. Hine. HaMashiach. Behold. Jesus, the Messiah.
I believe God's speaking over you today, a new mantling as apostolic ambassadors, an ambassadorial anointing that is going to come upon your life, an apostolic mantling, that of a mother and a father in the faith, that will build up the church, that will build up people's lives, and will release them into their calling. What you've got on your shirt right now that I have my hand on, the word oasis, your life has been that, but God says your life will be that in the future in a whole new way, in a whole new depth, where those who long to drink deeply of the well of living water will come and they will find a place of oasis. They will find a place of rest. They will find a place where they are fed and nurtured and grow and are released. An apostolic anointing, an apostolic ambassadorial anointing. Right now, I release it in Jesus' name.
For the Lord said that there is going to be a new sound that is going to come forth. There is a new sound that is going to rise up within you. There is a new sound. There is a new sound. And as you clap your hands and as you stamp your feet, the enemy has been served notice this day. Hey! The enemy has been served notice this day. Oh, the enemy has been served notice this day. There is a new song arising. There's a new song arising in your heart. All weariness and heaviness is going. Oh, there's a new song that is coming forth. A new song that he's putting on your lips this day. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that makes a way. Oh, there's an anointing. There's a fresh anointing. There's a fresh fire. Oh, there's a fresh fire in your bones today in Jesus' name that will cause you to run. That will cause you to run. And the Lord is saying, it is time for you to run. It is time to cast off every restraint. Cast off every restraint. In fact, we break every restraint off you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Where you have been held back, he says, I am calling you forth now in the spirit, and I am calling you up in the spirit. I am calling you up this day. Your life is not the same. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, seal, Father, your anointing, Father God, and your word, Father, upon them today in Jesus' mighty name.
Don't think that you've arrived. Okay, there's a journey going on here. There's a saying that says, often when we get asked something, especially in the line of business you're in, and you've got to dig into it. You've got to dig into the rules and regulations and the specifications to understand what's going on. And when we dig into things, what do we find? We find jewels and gems. And there's gems and jewels in your lives that are yet to come out. Yet to come out. So don't think that you've arrived. Don't think what you've got at the moment is the end of it. There's amazing things going to happen.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, that's so good. Lord, we just thank you for your heart towards us. Wow, it's just incredible, Lord. Lord, and we open ourselves up to know your heart towards us more and more, Lord. Lord, just as we wrap up, Lord, I just ask for each and every person here, I ask, Lord, that we would hear your invitations. Lord, that our ears would be attuned to the invitations that you bring us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you bring us into new seasons, Lord, and I thank you that you make room for us. Thank you that you make room for your people. You make room for your church. Oh, man, there's such a real nice presence of God here, eh? This is so good. Yeah. But that's probably pretty much about it. So have an awesome day. If you want to just hang around and just enjoy, just you want to soak in it, man, you soak in it. So otherwise, we'll see you next week. I'm so glad that I don't have to preach after Anne's preaching next week. So have a great Sunday, guys.